I'm in the market for a new audio interface. I noticed that you are using the Audient ID 22, but I'm a little confused. Have you upgraded to V6 of Mixbus 32C? What's your detailed opinion on streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, etc., versus radio stations nowadays? Any new gear for the studio? What are your thoughts on Push 2 for Ableton Live? Don't be stupid. Hey guys, welcome to the Kane Audio Vlog. It is Friday. It's time for another Ask Me Anything. Usual rules apply. Comment anything you want below this video and I'll get back to you in next week's video. Before I look at last week's video, there is definitely house admin for the last... I don't even know how long it's been now. Has it been 3 or 4 weeks? I've been basically landscaping the garden and now finally building the garden studio. I'm calling it a garden office really because I'm trying to be careful in how I word it and phrase it because it occurred to me the other day that so on YouTube, if you look up garden studio, it's a lot of live musicians and drummers and things like that. And they're, you know, they're either building concrete bunkers or, you know, fully soundproofed buildings. As an electronic music producer, I don't need that. I don't have real drums in there or anything like that. I don't need a huge, you know, recording booth and console. You know, I'm currently in the back room of the house and it's okay-ish, could do with being a bit bigger. So I'm kind of calling it the garden office and I'm also sort of being careful. And I think, so I'm going to be doing some videos on all of this. So I'm perhaps waffling unnecessarily, but just to kind of fill you in at the moment, because I think most of you watching this video right now are probably regular viewers of this AMA. So you've probably been kind of following this story to an extent. Otherwise, if you follow me on social media, I'll be probably posting a few pictures and videos very soon. Because I'm so busy building the thing, I haven't had time to actually film and edit and whatever the videos for YouTube, but they will be coming to YouTube, probably to Patreon first. That's probably way too much information. So basically I think my plan is, and this is the hardest part, is kind of planning on what I want to film, how and why. I feel like there are loads of how-to videos on, you know, building a garden office or log cabin or whatever. There are a few videos on how people have achieved, recording studio music, garden offices and whatever. And they all seem to be very, very expensive. So I'm kind of going with the approach of, I mean, I'm not going to call it low budget, it's medium budget, I suppose. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to get best of both. So I'm going with an off the shelf ish package of garden office, of log cabin, and then I'm going to modify that in various different ways. And a lot of it is going to be sort of trial and error for the electronic music producer who has a volume button, basically. So initially it's not going to be fully soundproofed, although it is fully insulated. I'm not expecting it to be very soundproof at all. But the idea is that I'm getting a bass structure with all the electrics and everything. And then I'm going to sort of trial that for, I guess, 6-9 months or so, basically through the winter, see how I get on with things like noise and whatever. Trial and error, really. And the idea is there's already a couple of things while I've been building it. There's a couple of things that I've put together where it was within budget and I made those choices and I've sort of put them together. And now I'm thinking, oh, I'm not sure if I like that. And so I'm already looking at sort of upgrades of those things in 6 months. So yeah, so it's a very long ongoing thing, but just to let you know, it is really getting there now. I've built the structure, I've done the landscaping 99%. I've built the structure 99%. I've painted the exterior, treated it, got all that out the way. Next up, well, I'm currently painting and treating the interior. Again, there's lots of choices and variants and options in how I go about that. But then next is, so to give you a rough idea of timeline, I'm looking at electrics going in hopefully next week. It's Friday, as you all know. So I'm guessing electrics should be in by the end of next week, along with hopefully the flooring. I'm getting underfloor heating laid in as well, so flooring, walls, electrics should be going in next week. And then hopefully I'll be moving all my equipment and everything in. So I seriously doubt next week's AMA will be in there. But the week after that, I'm hoping that the AMA will be from within the garden studio. So there we go. In other news, changing the subject, I have just updated the Spotify playlist for 5302 Electronica. If you go to Spotify and search for 5302 Electronica, it should come up. It's just been refreshed. There's 2 hours and 50 minutes, and so nearly 3 hours of new music in there. And I hope that you all like it. And I think that is it for house admin. There's a couple of other things I've been working on for my album and for 5302 recordings. Probably not worth mentioning yet because nothing's really moving for the next couple of weeks. So I'll skip those for now. But watch this space. I hate doing the whole, I've got some news about an announcement that I'll be announcing, that I have an announcement during an announcement next week. Anyway, one of those days I can feel myself waffling already. Right, let's have a look at last week's. John Bloomfield, hi Dom, Spotify, high five. I'm in the market for a new audio interface. I noticed that you are using the Audient ID22, but I'm a little confused. Their website says it is a 10-in, 14-out interface, but when looking on some shop websites, it says it's 2-in, 4-out. How do you use it to plug your outboard gear in? I've also noticed that there are no MIDI connections on the ID22. What do you use for MIDI ins and outs? Good questions. And I'm glad you asked, because that's something that really bugs me, is people saying 10 in, 14 out. I guess if you're looking at it from a technical specification, it is 10 in, 14 out. But in reality, that's not 10 devices or 14 devices. That's at best 5 devices. More realistic, is 3 or 4 devices. And the reason I say that is because most devices these days are stereo, and so you can instantly halve that number, because they're talking about channels in, and they, you know, channel 1 and 2 is left and right, channel 3 and 4 is left and right. So, you know, of that 4 channels in I've just described, it's actually really 2 devices. At best, unless maybe you've got 1 stereo and then 2 mono devices or something. So that's how they measure it, and that's why the website will always have a slightly bigger number. First of all, I mean, any company will be, you know, cranking up those numbers as best as they can. In regards to the Audient ID22, first of all, let me just say, hands down, one of the best bang for buck interfaces I've ever used or heard, to be honest. The DACs, the digital audio, digital to analog converters, are supremely transparent. I don't get any negative impact from them whatsoever. There's no colouring, there's no masking, there's no saturation, they're just rock solid. And if you look at the Audient high-end big consoles and whatever, you know, you'll see that they have a reputation for that quality. So, yeah, don't let the price tag put you off in a weird way, because they're actually, I think, almost undervalued. And I'm sure Audient won't mind me saying that. So, yeah, first let's get that out of the way. in terms of the 10-in, 14-out, that's because with the ID22 and I guess the 14, and there's another one as well now, I think, but with all the IDs, basically, you have ADAT expansion. So you've got a digital in and out, so you can send you can basically expand it using that. So I know that Audient do one, Behringer do one. There's a few available, but just look for ADAT expansion, and they vary from anything from, say, £100 to, well, thousands. So that's what I use in my racks behind them, below me, for outboard gear. So basically what you have is where, for example, you know, channel one, channel two, I've got dials that I can access. So for me, channel one is down there, NT1A microphone. Channel two is my Moog Sub 37, because it's just my most used synth and my most used microphone, other than the one you're listening to me on now. So I reserve those two, the channel one and channel two, to be microphone, Moog, because they're my go-tos in pretty much everything I do. In terms of MIDI ins and outs, I actually just tend to use the Moog in here. But in my last studio, when everything was set up, I had my M-Audio Keystation set up, and that was my MIDI out through the ADAT to go to everything else. So, so that's how I did my MIDI ins and outs. And that, I think, if I remember rightly, the M-Audio Keystation would receive MIDI from the computer as well. So if I wanted to play back in piano roll, then that's how it would work. You say that looking on some shop websites, it says 2-in, 4-out. Let me have a look if I can without... No, there's not enough slack on the cables. So you're looking at... Hang on. No, I can't see the back. The 2-ins are basically channel 1, channel 2, which I've just described, but there are additional ins. I'm sure there's another 2 tucked away behind it, to be honest, so... but there's definitely more available through ADAT expansion. So that's basically why there's a discrepancy. And I think you will find pretty much every single audio interface you ever look at is going to be a similar issue, where they're claiming, you know, 16 channels in. And first of all, that's 8 stereo channels. And third of all, maybe 2 of those are TRS. And maybe the rest of them aren't, and then, you know, maybe only 2 sets of those are balanced, or, you know, so it's usually considerably less than what they claim. So hopefully that answers everything you need. Bill Carroll, well, who doesn't love a waffle in the morning? Not me. This was a good waffle by all accounts, and yes, I've been listening to your 5302 playlist on Spotify. High five, cheers. Yeah, so there we go. That's now just been updated as well, as I mentioned at the beginning of this video. Moving on, Cavakay. Hi, Dom, Spotify, high five, and together, high five. Hardcore uproar, high five, high five. Yet another week that got away from me. I thought life was supposed to be quieter and slower during lockdown. Yeah, I feel the same. Hasn't it just been really weird? Like, even like phoning mates of mine or whatever, there are so many people that were always working 9 to 5 or whatever hours, and then quarantine happens and you're kind of expecting everyone to be available, including myself. And all of a sudden I'm more busy than I've ever been. And I don't know I don't know if that's good or bad. I think it's probably a good thing that we're all keeping busy, hopefully with families and family life. And that's got to be a good thing, isn't it? I think we all need to, especially as, you know, as I speak now, quarantine is starting to be lifted for most of the world, really. Yeah. So my advice for that is make the most of what family time you have now, because it won't be long before we're all back in the rat race. Anyway, funnily enough, you just went, anyway, good to hear the studio is coming along. Maybe not light at the end of the tunnel just yet, but at least you have a plan that's moving forwards. Yes, it's a plan that's been going on for years now, hasn't it? So it's about time. Also, a good spaghetti bolognese is hard to beat. Question, have you upgraded to V6 of Mixbus 32C? No, I haven't. The audio engine is supposed to be a big improvement, but I haven't had a chance to try it out yet myself. Good to know. Okay, I'll look into that. I know the guys at Mixbus, or Harrison, are just fantastic engineers. So any sort of audio engine improvement is going to be much appreciated, because I already liked the audio engine, to be honest. So yeah, there we go. Hope you and yours are well. All the best and good luck with the build. Thank you very much. Me and mine are very well, and the build is going okay so far. I think the landscaping bit was the hardest part, especially as, so again, long time followers of this channel will know that I've been putting things aside and saving and planning for years for this build. And part of the budget of that entailed having a landscaper do the landscaping, because our garden is on, or was on, a slope, and I wanted to use half the garden to put the cabin down on, which would have meant, or did mean, building some sort of retaining wall or digging down, and I wasn't sure what was best, and I kind of figured a mix of half and half. I had a landscaper out last year to quote, which was an astronomical amount of money. And then, of course, quarantine happened, when I decided, you know what, now I've got some free time. Now's the best time to just crack on and get the build. Obviously, again, long-time followers of this channel will know that there's a baby in the house, so my partner's been on maternity leave, so and that's coming to an end after quarantine, so we've sort of figured, well, post-maternity, that would be a terrible time to start building, so it was now or never, basically. And of course, couldn't get a landscaper to do the landscaping work during quarantine, so it was all me, which was just an utter nightmare, if I'm completely honest. I hated it, mostly because I didn't really know what I was doing, and secondly because every step of the way, and I guess this is often the case for building, and let's be honest, most DIY, if you're not an expert in it, every step of the way you sort of, so for example, I'll give you a crap example, but it's an example at least. My idea initially was to sort of dig somewhat of a trench and load it with slabs that I was pulling up from elsewhere in the garden, and to lay down slabs vertically to act as a retaining wall. Only to then, once you've sort of dug that trench, you're then thinking those slabs aren't big enough. And then you're sort of looking at it going, I don't know how this is going to work. And then you're looking at this huge slope and thinking, this is bigger than I thought. And then you're sort of going, right, okay, I need to do something else. And it just becomes a nightmare, basically. So, yeah, there we go. But that bit's over. So hopefully now it's the fun bit, because the structure's up and it's all a case of sort of modifying the structure and sort of building onto it, which is a bit more fun. It's something I've got a bit more experience of, rather than starting from scratch and having never done landscaping in my life. I don't think I've ever even had a garden before this house. No, don't think so. So there we go. That's that. And of course, the searing heat. That's not been much fun. I mean, it's been great that everything has sort of gone well in that respect, in that, you know, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos where you can see, you know, someone sort of digs the hole for the foundations or whatever, and then and then they have 2 weeks of frozen ground or torrential rain or something like that. We've had stunningly beautiful weather every day apart from last weekend. Oh, that's right, because I did the AMA last Friday and I think I rushed it first thing in the morning, the AMA, so apologies for that. It's because we were forecast gale force winds and some rain, but the gale force winds was the nightmare scenario because I hadn't quite latched down the roof properly. I hadn't put the shingles on the roof at that point, so I had to sort of quickly go out because from 11 a.m. we were due gale force winds, and I was out there till about 1 in the afternoon getting it all finished, and it did get a bit hairy towards the end. So like I say, all of that's done, so that's good. So there we go. FanFan87, saludom, Spotify, high five. That word leads me to one of my questions this week. What's your detailed opinion on streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, etc., versus radio stations nowadays? Do you feel streaming services have killed the concept of radio stations, or can radio stations be hype again as a source of music discovery and more human feel than cold algorithms? Good question. I think it's an interesting part of life now, because I don't think radio stations are going anywhere. First of all, we'll always have talk radio and we'll always have chat shows, and the entertainment side of radio will always be there. Second of all, I think as much as our TV is going on demand and our music habits are going online and on demand, I think there's always going to be an underlying trend and current. So, for example, I kind of miss the days where every March I would tune in to Pete Tong for BBC Radio 1 in Miami for the pool party, because that kind of told you what the hits of that summer were going to be. I no longer listen to any of that for a multitude of reasons, partly because I don't DJ with that sort of stuff and I don't care what the hits are necessarily. I have somewhat of an interest, but I'm not out there clubbing. I'm not doing the Ibiza circuit anymore. So it's not so relevant to me. But perhaps more importantly, the reason I don't follow that anymore is because I don't even know if it goes on. And I think that kind of says everything, that normally I would have seen hype every March, obviously excluding coronavirus March, but every March there would be hype for the Winter Music Conference in general. I'll see it on my Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media there is, and people will be paying attention to certain tracks, and that I would see key people posting, oh, this one's going to be big, this is going to be big. Now, well, over the last 10 years, that's kind of dwindled into nothingness. So I think it's an interesting one where people are definitely paying way less attention to radio stations. But having said that, I think there's always going to be a certain amount of demand, because people will always want to know what's going on in Ibiza this year. What's the big hits here and there and whatever. And I think that those sorts of things need a human element. And I think, you know, for example, Pete Tong's Radio 1 show was always kind of fundamental to the whole Ibiza season. And I think that was always really important. And I think there's always going to be some importance in that. So I think it's an odd time, but can a playlist ever replace that? I mean, as you all know, I've just been talking about my Spotify playlist. I'm not sure if they're going to really be able to replace the hype. If I had a track of mine, as I have had, put on editorial playlists in Spotify, it means more money in terms of royalties from Spotify than it would from BBC Radio 1. And BBC Radio 1 are some of the highest paying pence per minute royalties out there. But does getting that editorial playlisting have as much respect or credibility. I'm not so sure. I don't know. But I like to think that hopefully both the traditional radio station and the streaming services like Spotify can go hand in hand. And I like to think that they kind of, you know, again, I'll use, you know, the Pete Tong pool party as an example of, if we were to listen to that in March and he was saying this new track from Eric Prydz is going to be this summer's hit, and then that becomes filtered into all the Spotify playlists, then, you know, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess, which is really how the music industry works. So, yeah, there we go. And let's be honest, I think, you know, for me personally, I grew up with Pete Tong's voice from, I think I was a teenager when he first started on Radio 1, and I listened to him religiously every week for the best part of 20 plus years. So, you know, for me, there's always that. It's like David Attenborough, and I'm sure most people will agree, the sound of David Attenborough's voice on a nature documentary just feels like home. It just feels comfortable, because we've all grown up on those things. So, yeah, there we go. Question number two, friendly reminder about Serum, latest update. Damn it, I forgot. Do you know what? Remind me again and again and again, because I've unfortunately, because of the whole studio build going on, I've unfortunately had to be turning down some work. I know some people have asked me to review their tracks on Audioo. I've had a few people get in touch for mixdowns, masters and stuff like that. I've had a few sound design jobs coming in, so it's actually been quite a few inquiries. But unfortunately, I'm having to turn down most of it just because I've got so much going on with the build. So things like Serum updates, I will try and get round to it when I can. But obviously, you know, other than filming these AMAs, which I do religiously now, you know, I after I've finished filming this and I set it to upload and whatever, I'm straight back out there. I've got painting to do. I need to do a fourth coat on the beams. And finally, three, how do I approach sound design in Serum making presets? What are your go-to effects or warp mods? I don't know if I can answer that. Yeah, I don't know, but maybe I should do a video on some sort of experimental sound design type thing with Serum, because it's the capabilities are almost limitless on that. I don't have any go-to effects or warp mods on there, though. If I'm honest, I just tend to just play around and have some fun. It's much like I was talking recently about Bitwig's The Grid. You know, it's one of those things that when you have a free moment and you can just spend an hour just delving into different sounds and just come out with some weird stuff, and every now and then you just hit one that's you know, on the money. I don't think there's a specific go-to method or process. I guess it depends on what kind of sound I'm trying to achieve as well. So, yeah, I think that's a tricky one to answer. Not Your Human. Hi, Dom, love the vid. Any new gear for the studio? Also, what are your thoughts on Push 2 for Ableton Live? Have a great weekend. You too. So, any new gear for the studio? Not music-making gear, but again, as part of the budget, that was all part of the plan long term. Again, long term viewers of this channel will know that I've mentioned this chair a few times. I've had my money's worth out of this chair. The arm rests, well, they're just knackered. Every now and then, randomly, it just starts dropping. The air comes out of the pneumatic thing. So all of a sudden, I'm 6 inches off the floor. This desk is getting replaced as well. There's a few bits and pieces like that that I'm looking forward to, but no new gear, not in terms of synths or anything like that. However, one of the reasons I've not been buying synths for the last few years is because I am a poor musician. By the way, if you want to subscribe to my Patreon and help me out with those things, then every penny is greatly appreciated. But yeah, being a musician on a I wouldn't say low income, because I think that would be an insult to people on minimum wage, but I certainly am not rich and don't have a high income. I'd say probably average, but based on that, and while an average income is great, unfortunately, being a musician, a music producer, outgoings are often just as great. So yeah, and with building the studio, hopefully once I've got the studio done, then I can start looking at new gear and actually finally start to let myself get gear envy, because for the last few years I've literally, and again, long-term viewers will know this, I've literally just had to sort of switch off to looking at new equipment releases and stuff like that. My camera's about to reset. I'm going to beat it. Ha. So yeah, so no new synths or anything, but there are a couple that I definitely have my eyes on, one or two in the long term. I mean, let's be honest, the ultimate synth at the minute has got to be the Moog One. It just looks astounding. What are my thoughts on Push 2 for Ableton Live? I have no thoughts on it, but one thing I will say, only because I didn't know it was out and I've not looked into it, especially as I don't use Ableton anymore, since version 9 won't install on Catalina, I'm refusing to upgrade to version 10 unless there's a reason. So based on that, I've stopped watching anything that Ableton do, if I'm totally honest. But the one thing I will say in their defense is when Push first came out, I kind of looked at it and thought, yeah, I don't really see why I'd use that over Native Instruments Machine or anything else, really. However, I then went, I gave a talk in some music expo somewhere, could have been London, who knows, doesn't matter where. But yeah, I remember giving a talk, and then I obviously went and looked around the expo, and the Ableton guys were there, and they gave me a demo of the Push. And I remember sitting there going, oh, actually, yeah, no, now I get it. I get it now. That's an incredible bit of kit. So I think, yeah, I'm a big fan of Ableton Push. I've never bought one, never owned one, never really used it myself. But I can totally understand that it's a really great bit of kit. So based on that, I'm going to say that before I've even seen Push 2, it's probably great. So there we go. Techolite Music, thanks for the video. I assure you, what you told made sense despite having only one coffee and some hard physical working days before. I still cringe. All of this week I've been thinking, I haven't even looked back at last week's, but I was so tired, and like I say, I was trying to beat the weather, and it was crazy early in the morning. I'd been up since I don't even know what time. And yeah, I now have two compressed nerves in my shoulder blades and rotator cuff damage, I think they call it. So basically my back's wrecked, but still going strong. But I did work out the other day, I can't remember how much it was now, but I had shifted something like, was it nearly 2,000 kilos of gravel by hand from shop floor to trolley, from trolley to car, from car all the way around the house up to the top of the garden and back again, doing that spread out over sort of 10-15 journeys in a car over a period of a week. So yeah, that was quite a significant amount of gravel to be carrying up and down a garden. So that was some pretty serious physical hard work. So my back had sort of completely given up by the end of it. I say given up, it's fine. The compressed nerves just, it tingles all the time, basically. So hopefully it's not permanent. I'm sure it's not permanent. It's just that I'm not used to that much exercise, especially, like I say, in this searing heat. And then having to, once I'd shifted everything and finally got it all where I wanted, then had to build it. So yeah, there we go. Fun times. We'll head to Spotify. High five this weekend to listen to some great music via the 5302 playlist. Have a nice weekend. You too. Cheers. And yeah, so the 5302 playlist has just been updated this very minute. I still haven't made the archive public. I'm kind of waiting for a good moment for that. I don't know. Maybe that I don't know. I feel like I need more people to tell me what the right thing is, because I feel like a playlist that changes every couple of weeks, that's maybe 2 hours, 3 hours long, is better than having one super long playlist that's 100 hours long. Because especially for the guys who are using a free account, I know that you can't, in a playlist, you can't choose which track to listen to. I think it only shuffle plays or something like that. So, yeah, that could be a bit annoying. And then finally, John Bloomfield, congrats on your engagement. Thank you very much. Yes. So that's the other bit of news, is I finally got engaged. So, yeah, there we go. Happy days all round. That is it for this week. It has been a pleasure as always. If you've made it this far into the video, then prove it by commenting the word feet, because there's a video here from Peter McKinnon, a gimbal for your feet. That sounds terrible. I don't know why you'd want a gimbal for your feet, but there we go. Just comment the word feet and I'll give you a high five in next week. Other than that, everybody, please stay safe and sensible. I know that lockdown is slowly being lifted now. And I think thanks to certain politicians, or at least their advisors, people are now sort of feeling far more confident in breaking lockdown rules. So just don't be stupid and stay safe. See you next week. Cheers.